Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back, my fellow warriors, my fellow soldiers of fortune, bloodied and battered and beaten. Welcome back. And we have, Jake, if you could put the WhatsApp, that screen that Mitch put together, can you put that up on the screen so people can see?
I do not have that. Mitchell has that.
Can I share a screen then?
I don't know. How can you?
One moment. Oops. Thank you for all your patience. All right, let's see.
You should just start. People already asked me to start.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I'm not able to share. Okay. All right, so let's jump into this. Okay. Remember, we have a WhatsApp. Please join the WhatsApp. Jake can get you that information. Reach out. He can get you the information on the WhatsApp. Also, I really feel it's important, but I'm not going to go into too long about it every single time. But if you feel you know someone who is going through addiction, through sex addiction of any kind, whether it's online pornography, whether it's in real life, whether it's whatever the situation may be, please don't rely just on learning. You should learn, and you should learn this in Yanim, and you should learn Svarim, but please, please speak to a professional. If you don't know how to reach out to a professional, you can get in touch with me and I can refer you. Okay. Also, this shir is Le'el Nishmas, my father, Yitzchak Kadosh ben Chana. And just a little bit about, because we're talking about soldiers, so a very little bit about my father. He was a tank commander in the Yom Kippur War. So he was fighting the front lines. He knew what it was like to be a soldier. And a very, very holy, holy neshama. Maybe we'll talk about him a little bit more in detail at a different time. But he, for me, he's like the picture of what a real soldier is. And yeah, that's the image that I have. And speaking of images, so I want to recap a minute what we discussed yesterday, because I think there was a certain point, and maybe you guys got it because you guys are like, you're really on the ball, you're really like into it. I'm just like talking, but I want to at least chazer for myself the discussion that we had. And that is the number one thing that Sivah Shalom was saying, is that this battle that we have with this type of Yetzirah is, you know, we first talked about this bar being set so high, like you could one little mishap, one little deviation in thought, and you can be called a Rasha. And that often that message is the only message that's given over, and that message could be crushing. It could be crushing to us who are just trying to make it in the world. It could be really crushing to us who are just trying to survive, and we know we have flaws, we know we have failures, and we're just trying to make it in life. And then you come along and say, if you walk by the women who are dressed sneas, but you walk by the women who are doing the laundry, then you're going to be considered a Rasha. And it is true, but it's also a very intense way. So then you have people that are like, oh, the rabbis are just banging me over the head again with their craziness. And you have people that rebel, chas v'shalom, could rebel because they feel the bar is too high. I'm going to give up. I'm going to fail anyways. And that's the strategy of the Yetzer Hara, to let us fall, right? Say, oh, the rabbis don't get me. The Gemara is just creating these impossible standards. I'm just going to give up. And the answer that the Nesiv Shalom gives to this is not like what some people say, and I've heard some people say in today's generation, is you can't give that message over, it's too high. So what you need to do is like, you gotta tell the kids, it's okay, everything's gonna be fine, you're normal, and this is all true, you are normal, it is a normal, and like, don't worry too much about it, and like, just come to Kumsitz and have challenges. And I think that's a mistake as well, because that's almost like the other extreme. It's like, don't worry, it's not as big of a deal.
Right.
But it's just not true. So the Nesivah Shalom goes in a whole different direction. Nesivah Shalom is saying, yes, this is the bar and it's extreme, but it's true. And it's not okay to just take a chill pill and like be okay with it. But there's this other way to look at it. It's a way that fills you with honor and courage and recognition of that, yes, we do fail, but we're not gonna give it up. It's like, yeah, we're soldiers in this war, in this battle, and yes, we're gonna get stabbed and pierced and stabbed again and get really injured. But the point is not to cure it. He said yesterday, you can't cure this until you're older and your bodily desires start to calm down, right? Until the mama can come and clean you up, which the mama is connected to Bina, right? Because Bina means is a lot higher level of understanding, and you only get that with age when you turn 40. And that also means when you're 40, or maybe not in the actual age 40, because we also spoke about ages are very skewed in our generation because of all the other traumas and influences we have. But if you get to that spiritual age 40, where you're able to think things through properly, you'll get to the status of the Ima, who's coming to just clean your wounds and give you time to heal and process what you went through. And the point until you're that age 40, that spiritual age 40, is just to stay in the fight, however damaged and bloody you get. And that the point is to just keep fighting for the Kavod Hashem. Even if you're not the best, even if in your head you're not the best soldier, you are the best soldier, because Hashem doesn't put you in a situation you can't deal with. And that you know, Hashem putting you in a situation that you can't deal with, it doesn't mean that you're able to win. But Hashem wants you to be in that bloodied up, broken situation, because that's the fight that you need to go through. Because growth doesn't come without struggle. Growth never comes without struggle. But it's important to have that realization. So this is like a third way to deal with it. It's recognizing that the bar is, we're not able to necessarily make that bar, but we're not gonna say you gotta chill out, but we're gonna give you a framework of like how to stay in the fight. And I think that's such an important thing, because he says that it's not about an intellectual, you're not gonna think your way out of this Nisayan. You're not thinking your way out of the Pagam Bris and the Yitzhara. You're not necessarily even gonna win, right? It's an emotional thing. And that's why I think using the Koyach HaDimyon, which is usually the Yitzhara, gets in your head and gives you all these fantasies, and that's how we fall into the abyss of lust and fantasy, right? But if we can use the silly movies that we've watched in our lives, or the silly daydreams of being a superhero, right? Like if we can use that and it feels good, like the action movie formula, and really all stories, not just movies, like fiction in general, they follow, there's a very famous philosopher, writer called, his name is Joseph Campbell. And he developed this thing called the hero's journey. Okay. It's a very, very famous concept out in the world. Every single good story follows a certain chain of events. We're not going to go through all the details here because I just frankly don't remember all of it. But essentially it follows every good story, attractive story, thing that gets us pulled in. From the cave paintings that they found in wherever they found those cave paintings, right, to the Epic of Gilgamesh, to the stories of the Torah itself, they all follow like this hero's journey. And it's a person from plain regular day who gets a call to action, and he refuses the call, but then he is forced to accept the call, and then he goes out and just tries to, you know, complete the mission, but then he has trials, and he meets a mentor that helps him get through it. And then after he meets the mentor, he has, and there's all these different names for like the different trials, and there's like the final trial, which is going to the belly of the beast. And he actually maps out many, many stories of how this works. And we have to understand that this is, yes, a lot of people go to Hollywood and they make very silly, dumb stories. But if you fit those stories into that sequence of events, you have a very compelling, even if the details around it are narishkeit, which most of them are, if it follows this framework, you're actually tapping into something that's so deep-seated in the human psyche that, you know, there's stories of Tanakh, This is the guy's stories, like, you know, Lord of the Rings, stories of the Count of Monte Cristo, the stories of Treasure Island, the stories of, you know, I said already the Epic of Gilgamesh, but Beowulf is a very famous one. These are all stories of old, you know, all the Shakespearean tragedies, right? These are all following certain stages where a person, and then, and you know, obviously not all the stories, like the Shakespeare has his famous tragedies and they and he falls. The point, I don't want to get too lost in story and creating and crafting story, but the point is that if this exists in the world as a construct of how to put the world into focus, even though we know like regular life is kind of like it's up, it's down, it doesn't seem to follow like a real trajectory, but if you get to that age of 40, right, when you have that bina and you look back at your life, you can trace it. You can actually trace that. Like your growth as a kid and every decision you make, you can go back and kind of trace your own history and see where you where it was a tragedy, see where you were the hero, see where you were the anti-hero. And it's important to do that. And maybe in a way, Hashem, as you know, Hashem gave us these things that, yes, are covered in klipas, called movies, or stories, or fiction, or whatever it is, but it's possible to use that framework so that we can rise above our own intellect. Because a lot of times it's like we're gonna learn Torah to get rid of this gambris. We're gonna come up with this. You know, we're gonna think it through and like figure it out. Like how to deal with this. Like here is the formula to get out of gambris, and then we follow the formula, right? For some person, it's gonna be like I'm gonna learn Baba Kama like backwards and forwards, upside down, hanging from a tree branch, and that's gonna fix my problem. And then you go do it, and boom, you fall back again. And it's like, well, what happened? What happened to my formula? It's because the way you succeed is not necessarily following the formula. Following this like intellectual like strategy, we're gonna figure this out. You need to follow a strategy. But that strategy is gonna come from a higher place. And that's what the Siva Shalom talked about Moshe Rabbeinu when there was a war with Amalek, that he had his hands up above his head. Mm-hmm. And that was a symbol of like, it's not just the machinations of your mind that's gonna save you from this. It's gonna be reaching for something beyond that. And you know, when people watch the action movie of Rambo about to win, you almost could, like there's, your own blood is boiling, right? At the climax of the film, you're getting riled up. At the end of the book, it's like the hero is about, he's going through the belly of the beast, he's about to die. You're feeling a little bit of what the author or the director is trying to get you to feel. That feeling, that resichas dam, that boiling of your blood, is the tool, that is the tool to fight against this resichas dam of pegam bris. You just have to be careful how you're directing it. And yes, that's also in your head. That's also, but it's not intellect. That's coming from a different place. It's like when you combine your intellect and emotions together, you understand that it's not just a bad thing to do, but you're a warrior in the fight. And when you start creating that imagery for yourself and start believing in yourself that, you have the skills to win this war, or at least you have the skills to keep the battle going. That resichas dam that you had for doing Avera because you gave up on yourself, not anyone here, chas v'shalom, because you're all holy and perfect, but if a person, right, would feel that despair, and that despair, right, that yush is usually what helps you get even deeper into the darkness. If you could take that same blood boiling where you're at the end of the film and it's emotional, you could turn that around. That's the energy. That's the nuclear power plant. You're redirecting the energy towards getting past this challenge. At least maybe even just getting past it in this moment. That's why it's so important for you guys to develop your ability, your koyach hadimyon. Because again, how do we fight fire with fire? The Yitzhahara comes as the koyach hadimyon to distract you and to take you off the deep end. Use that same skill. Use the same skill, the same fiery compulsion skill to fight back, to get yourself into that, like I am not giving up this fight. I'm not giving it up. And the piece that's in the Rebbe talks about this in the Sefer on Hachsharas Avreichim, the Sefer called Hachsharas Avreichim. And a lot of the Sefer is teaching you how to develop the power of your imagination and how your imagination can direct your emotions and how that affects choices and decisions you make in your life. Because again, if you're just relying on someone to, like, it's very interesting. And I'm, again, sorry for the preamble ramble. I think we're gonna nickname this the preamble ramble that that Adam goes on. But I think it's important to get us back into this framework that, you know, there's a thing in the world where, like, you have to have the perfect morning routine. Some people joke, it's like gotten so out of hand. It's like the morning routine rain dance that everybody has to do. You wake up in the morning and you gotta drink lemon water to alkalize your body. And then you gotta work out cardio and then do some lifting. And then you gotta journal for 85 hours. And by the time it's already lunchtime, that's when you finished your whole morning routine and you could start your day. And it's like everyone's got strategies on how to perfect your day. And also, unfortunately, like, people do that in the Torah world as well. It's like, if you do it like this, and if you do it like that. But, and obviously that's not what Torah is about. Torah is about combining our emotions and our mind and our whole body for Avodas Hashem. And we have to keep in mind, it's not just following the checklist and a list of what to do. It's about attaching our emotions to action. Okay. So, with that in mind, let's go into the next piece. It's on page, by me, it's on page Tess. It's Ois Gimel. You have it there? All right. So we talked about being the warrior. We talked about being the warrior, and now we're going to talk about what happens if we don't stay in the fight. And it's, let's just go into it. All right? Uma gdoila hasakona haruchnis im chas v'sholom. What, so first, Uma gdoila hasakana haruchnis. On how big is this danger, this risk, this spiritual risk? Im chas v'sholom, rafu yadav milamoid bikishrei melchama tamidas, that we just let go and from standing against this and standing up in this melchama. Like, what kind of other damages could happen if we give up? And it's, again, it's not just Avera itself. We talked about this, I think, on the first year. It's not just the Avera itself that is going to damage you. It's like, you know, if someone eats Treif Chas V'Shalom, right? There is a damage. There's a very deep spiritual damage. But it's possible for someone to go about their day and, like, just move on. I mean, yes, the damage is sitting inside them and it will accumulate over time. But something unique about this Yetzer Hara and this type of this Shmiras HaBris and Pagam Bris issues has a much wider effect, a wider reaching effect. So what's going to happen if someone decides to give up the fight? Umargish atzmai cholash midai lamed neged Yetzer Hara boyer boy keish. And he just feels that he's getting too weak. And he's not strong enough to stand against the Yetzer Hara that's burning inside him like a fire. And we said, there's no cure. You just have to stay in the fight. There's no cure. It's just going to burn and burn and burn until you get to a point where you have bina and to understand it. So shemavad etzma pagam kiravu. So aside from the actual pagam, which is so great, and the actual damage that's happening to your neshama, hari hatoytzois mipagami bris kodesh. Kashim v'chamurim, there's other results of this pegam bris kodesh that are very, very difficult and very heavy. Loy pachas me'etzem pegam, not least of which, not just when it comes to the actual avera. And it's important to know, like, this is fuel. We need to start building ourselves fuel and motivation. And actually, I take it back. Not motivation. Motivation. Everyone talks about being motivated. Sometimes you're not motivated. Sometimes you're not motivated. But if you're a soldier in a war, does the enemy care if you're motivated or not? Does the enemy care that you're in the right mood? It's like, hold on, guy. Hold on. Hold on, evil maniac. Right? Before you press that nuclear button to destroy, right, in New York City, just hold on one second. I'm going to do a few push-ups and journaling to get myself in the right, you know, frame of mind. It's like, no, it doesn't work that way. The villain comes when the villain comes. And we need to start developing fuel and strategies to be ready even when we're not motivated, even when we're not in the mood. Motivation, I think, it's manufactured by us comfortable Westerners, where we think that we have the time to really develop, really kind of flesh ourselves out, develop ourselves so that we always have the time to deal. And then when a crisis hits, I'll be ready. And then obviously crisis never comes when you're expecting it. It always comes when you least expect it. So let's develop. Like what do we need to be ready for when we're in this battle? And if we start to give up, what happens? And we start to fall, what's gonna happen? So Aleph, Shemar. So what, aside from the actual chet itself, we're gonna feel other things. Shemargish hisrachus miyirei Hashem v'mechabura sheshayich lahem. You're gonna start to feel distant from people who are yirei Hashem. Ukamaymer maron admar beis Avram. I looked this up also, I didn't know. Beis Avram was, I believe, the first Slonim Rebbe. First Lamna Rebbe. So what Nesiv HaShalom is showing you, not just good ideas and his own tzidkis, but he's also showing you how this is a through line through the entire Slonim Chassidus of like how we need to present it or how we need to approach it. So he says on the Pasuk and Shemais, when it comes to the building of the Arayim, B'tabois Ha'arayim, in the rings of the Arayim, so the rings on the sides of the Arayim, you habadim loy yusuru mimena. There were these labriut. There were these badim, these poles that you can never take out. You can't take these poles out, and we know this about the Aron. Like you're never allowed to remove the poles from those rings. And that pasuk habadim loy yusuru mimenu. The Rosh Tevis of that pasuk is mila. The Rosh Tevis of that pasuk is mila, where that. Halacha of never taking the badim out, that's like mila, and ha'arin heim yirei Hashem. The arin is represented by those who fear Hashem. Shehatayra genuza b'toich toicha, because the Torah is there hidden inside the yirei Hashem. It's protecting the yirei Hashem, right? The habadim and the poles heim elo hamukasher maleim. Those are the people who attach themselves to yirei Hashem. Right, and never let yourselves be unattached. Keep yourself attached to Avodas Hashem. And how do you do that? That's Toloi B'midas Shmiras Bris Kodesh. The only way for you to stay connected to these Yirei Hashem and to Torah is by being careful on this Midah of Shmiras Bris. She'im Pigam Chas V'Shalom, because if someone does have a Pigam in his Bris, you're not able to attach yourself to Yirei Hashem. Begam yoiser kasha, and if the begam gets more intense, as maschil lases tarumes aleim. So someone who is involved in begam, over time, he's gonna start feeling like, you know, maybe resentment and come up with grievances. Maybe you know people like this, who are like, they're frum, and they do everything they're supposed to, but they're like, oh, those rabbis. Yeah. Now, I'm not saying it, he's saying it. He's saying that people who come up with grievances against the Rabbanim, in whatever way, and I'm not, they seem to be struggling, pagam bris. And the worse your grievances are, the worse the pagam is. Mm-hmm. Now, again, I wanna be careful, like Rabbanim, Gedolim, however much on a high level they are also human beings, and it's possible for them to make mistakes. Obviously, it's not for us to run around saying, oh, that's a mistake, and that's a mistake, and have a bizui Tamil Chacham. We can't do that. Sure. But you speak to if you have a question, a real question about something that a gadol did or a tzaddik did, or you know something that's going on in the community, like talk to your Rebbe and like try to come to some type of conclusion. I'm not talking about those type of questions. I'm talking about in general, it's like, oh, the rabbis again. The rabbis are going, Adam is telling me that I have to live on this high level, and he's just not with it. He doesn't get it. They don't understand my life circumstances, so I'm just not going to believe anything and forget it. Throw in the towel. Mm-hmm. right? So the more someone is Isaac and Begum, the more a person's going to go down that path of just completely rejecting and making fun even. And just adding, coming up with grievances. You know, someone's like really bitter. They like try to find other reasons why they're bitter, right? With somebody. It's like, I didn't like what you said to me. So also I'm gonna be like, oh, and the way he walks down the street is a little weird. Right. And I don't like the way he chews gum. And oh, he always, like the way he talks is just, it's just like, yeah, he talks in such a rough manner. And you start just making stuff up. Right, and also a way to know that you're maybe not in the right place. Yeah. I heard someone say this once. He's like, you know, I go to the mikveh in the morning, and I know what kind of day I have because when I see the guy with those Adidas slippers in the mikveh, and I just start getting annoyed at his like his dumb Adidas slippers, he's like, I know for myself like I'm not in the right spot. Yeah. I'm not in the right spot because it's like who cares? Yes, right. But we all have those things. It's like, oh, that guy in shul. He like the way he blows his nose in shul is like so annoying. Can't he just get his act together? And it's like, just leave the guy alone. It's not his fault that you're having a bad day, right? But if you're in a Begama Bris situation, you're just gonna add. Especially people who are trying to live a holy life, the Yirei Hashem, the Rabbanim, or maybe your friend in shul who's like going to shir and he's on time to davening every day, and you're like, the guy's just such a Harry, such a nerd, like oh he comes on time, like I make sure to come 20 minutes late because you want to be fashionably late to shachris. You come in, you make yourself a coffee, you shmooze around a little bit. Like, but that guy's just on time. He's such a goody two shoes and a. I feel like I'm overemphasizing this, and maybe it's because I struggle with this exact thing, and I'm trying to actually, you know, yeah. I apologize, everybody. I'm not going to go too much longer.
I try to come on time.
But, yeah, the point is not whether you come on time or not. The point is like when you start going in your head, all these. Like things, you have to like stop and say like, what's going on in my life? What's going on in my heart? All right? And Begama Bris is going to just push you further and further, coming up with grievances against other people. Umar Litanis Kariman, he says, you're going to be filled with complaints like a Riemann. Like usually we use a pomegranate as like, you should, Malay Zechuyos Kariman, right? But no, if you are Isaac in Begama Bris, if you're doing things you should not be doing, that's distancing yourself from Hashem, that's detaching the bottom, the poles from the Aron, you're going to be filled not with mitzvahs. I mean, you're holy yid, but it's going to be, you're going to end up feeling like you have that beauty, that power and that light inside you, but you're covering it up with this sense of like there's nothing inside, just grievances. Like, I'm going to do it. There's the famous line from that TV show, right? Festivus for the rest of us, where we air our grievances. You're not holding, Lenny? Maybe you guys are holding, I don't know. Right? And Hamevin Yavid, we're not going to go into it, but the airing of the grievances on Festivus is what happens when you're Isaac Begama Bris, which for sure, Jerry and Co. is Isaac and Begama Bris. There's no question in my mind. Anyway, moving right along. That was a little random detour there. If you know, you know. All right. So you're going to become Malay grievances. And if this Begam gets even more low, drags you more down, you're going to start to build a hatred towards these people who are just trying to be Yirei Hashem. They're just trying to do what they're doing. And unfortunately, we see this like in the polarization of the politics in Eretz Yisrael. We see this in our communities, and it's like it starts very innocuous and something. Oh, this is a legitimate question I have against those people living in that so and so community, right? You know, I'm guilty of this also. Like, you know, I grew up a Litvak. And then I got very into Chassidus and into Pnimiyas HaTorah, and really inspired by that. And someone like me could tend to you know, start making fun of those Litvaks. All those Kalta Litvaks, they have no soul, they have no heart. Mm-hmm. And it's like, that's not true. It's not true. It's funny to make those jokes sometimes. You have to do it tastefully. But it's another thing. Like, it's like, we're just, you know, we got to be careful. And we got to be careful because the more into Begam we get, this could turn into like a full-blown hatred to other people. And you're constantly coming up with complaints, and you're always coming up with all these problems on the people around you, your friends in shul, right? It goes from like the blowing of the nose to the shtender is not in the right place to you're sitting in my seat and to we all know the hishtalshlus over there. Really, all that he's doing is just looking at the begamim of himself. He's looking at other people, but what he sees is the begam, because there's the lens, his eyes, the dirt is on his own eyes, right? So that when he's looking out, he thinks that it's the dirt on Yanim, the dirt's on somebody else, but it's the lachluchis, it's the schmutz that's on his own, that is on himself, that he's seeing. Kamaimar Admar, this is a young lady, the Admar of Slonim, he said, Shuhu kimabit bar'i v'ray upon him lachuchas. Right? He's looking in a mirror and he sees a dirty face. He's like, oh, look at that disgusting person over there. But it's like looking in a mirror. Because we're all chelik alakami mal, every single yid. When you look at a yid, you're seeing a reflection of the chelik alakami mal that you have a connection with, because we all have a connection with. So we're almost like we're looking in a kind of a mirror. When you look in the mirror and you see the dirty face, the problem is not the mirror, right? The mirror is not dirty. The mirror is working really well, and it's just reflecting your own dirty face.
You look at a reform, a conservative Jew, and they're not really following the mitzvahs. You're looking at yourself.
Yeah. The Baal Shem Tov says this very clearly. So the question is, if you see a Reform or conservative Jew who's not following Torah mitzvahs, yeah, you see even a Frum Jew who's completely off the deep end and not doing right. So the Baal Shem Tov writes, the question is, does that mean that you're Reform? I'm a Frum guy, I'm not Reform, right? So it's a good question. So the Baal Shem Tov writes that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will... You only ever meet people for a reason. HaKadosh Baruch Hu sets it all up. So the fact that you bumped into a guy that's a Reform Jew or a conservative Jew who's not doing what they're supposed to, or some crazy left-wing activist that's like, you know they're Jewish, like Jews for Palestine. Those are total quacks,
right?
But like the reason why you're seeing it is because there's something in you that's a Jew for Palestine. There's something in you. You need to see, because that, and not just in general, like, Hashem is showing you a bad person because there's bad inside you. Hashem is showing you that particular bad person because that particular action, that particular badness is in you. Okay. And it's a way for you to look in the mirror and clean it out. Okay. So that's what this mashal is over here. Re'im Mizrachetz, and if you would wash yourself, right? So imagine this. You're dirty. You got dirt on you. You look in the mirror and you're like, oh, look, this mirror is dirty.
Right.
So you take out the spray bottle and the rag and you start cleaning the mirror and you look in it and it's still dirty. And you look in again and it's still dirty. It's like the problem's not the mirror, okay? Right. You need to wash yourself. If you washed yourself, you clean your own act up, you would see yourself clean in the mirror.
Right.
That's why the biggest tzaddikim, when they see other yidden, even if they're doing something wrong, they just love. Yeah, it might be like we're gonna create a distance. We have to create boundaries with, because it's not healthy to have association with people acting a certain way. But at the real tzaddikim, they're just like, it's just a yid and he's just exploding with art. Mm-hmm. And I, unfortunately, we're in a state of pirud and disconnection. But at the same time, it's not a reflection on them. They're not like getting all bent out of shape. So that's the first danger. The first danger of being Isaac and Begam Bris, outside of the actual sin of Begam Bris, which is a real problem. And this is, we all intuitively understand this. Like, when the more we sink into this hole of compulsion and lust and desire, the more disconnected we get to people who are Kaddish. And not just people who are Kaddish, so we're up to Beis. So it's also things that are Kaddish. Ma'abed kol regesh midavar shebekedusha. you start to you destroy all feelings of anything that is holy. Mm-hmm. We talked about the guy who fell in the vat of pickles, right? He couldn't feel. He couldn't feel as he was in pain. His nerve endings were in pain for 2 years. Right, so this is what happens when Isaac can become bris. We just burn the nerve endings off. We can't even feel basic things. And he actually points out Shabbos Kodesh is like the first thing to go. Right, particularly if you're Isaac can become bris, your Shabbos is toast. You're not gonna feel. You're gonna come into Shabbos and you're gonna be coming in late, like you're sliding into home base. Right, there's no concept like. Yeah, you know, obviously if you have an emergency, you have an emergency. But you know, the people that are like chronic, like you're right up to Shkia. Not candlelighting, right? You're like sliding into home base, Shkia. You're like still in the shower, right? And it's Shkia, and it's like, I already did the soap and shampoo, so like I'm not over like doing the soap. And like, I'll just have to like air dry coming out of the shower because it's Shkia.
Right.
And like the hot water is on, so like I gotta turn off the hot water quickly. You know what I mean? You're basically, it's not a good situation, right? But like, what's gonna happen if you don't feel Kedusha Shabbos? Like, of course you're not gonna take it seriously, but even if you keep Shabbos, you're gonna do it in a way that's just like, I'm just trying to put up appearances, right? Yismachu b'malchuscha shem mishabbos. That the line, the pasuk, Yismichu b'malchuscha Hashem Shabbos, Rashi Tevis, Gematria, Bris. Mm-hmm. We also know Shabbos is a Bris. So something about Shabbos that is connected to Bris. We know that like when a person stops keeping Shabbos, that's like the big banner to show that he's like, he's not from anymore. Right? You know, if you're keeping Shabbos, and you have questions, and you're reading David Hume's philosophy and critique on religion, and you have like real questions about I don't know if everything is so glut when it comes to believing in Hashem, so that's bad. It's a problem. It's got to be dealt with. But you're not OTD yet. You're OTD, the Sfarim say, when you stop keeping Shabbos. That's like the external banner sign. Like, you know, you have like a sign over the bakery. It says, you know, Adam's Bakery. When you stop being a bakery, right, is when you take that sign down. So that when you stop keeping Shabbos, like even though, like, you know, you may not be baking bread anymore, but as long as the sign's up, it's still going, right? All right. So that's something particular about Shabbos. Shahaba Hatalia, that Shabbos and Shmiras Bris is all dependent on each other. Ukishuraya Acherim, and when you see other people, Hamagishim Tam, Vitainug, and you see other people that are like, you know, I've had these moments before. It's like these guys that are like constantly talking about how beautiful Shabbos is. It's like, just get over it, okay? It's like, okay, we get it. Okay, good for you.
Right.
We're good for you. It's like, relax. Like, we get it. Like, you stay late at the end of Shabbos. You add extra few minutes. Yeah. You're like, you know, you're the guy that's like, you know, taking a spoon of chol and saying, I'll cover Shabbos Kodesh.
Yeah.
And it's like, why? You're annoying. Why being so annoying? It's like, grow up. And chas v'shalom, obviously, the guy who's doing the cover Shabbos, he's doing it right, right? But he says over here, right? You see somebody who's really feeling the tam and the tainig of Shabbos. He's really appreciating Shabbos. You start to think, oh, he's a faker. And his heart's not really in it. He's just doing it for likes. You know, it's like from likes. There's like from likes, right? You know, brownie points. It's like, you know, oh, you said the Kav Shabbos Kailish. Like, you know, you know, now we're going to look at you as like you're some kind of malach. But the guy, all the guy's doing, he's just, he learned the sefer with his chavrusa about how to treat Shabbos properly, and he's trying to do things and he's inspired, and he's removing himself from Pagan Bris, so he's really experiencing a real tainug in Shabbos. And meanwhile, me, I'm sitting there, Isaac and Pagan Bris, and saying that everything's fake, and he's lying. V'yesh lo'y oy tina b'leiv, aleim b'makam lirtz l'sizchanam la'irim. And like when you spend time around him, like most people will get inspired by the guy who's really experiencing Shabbos well. It's like, oh, I want to be around this guy. Like when we see Rabbi Tursky, you know, on Shabbos, it's like, you know, it's like really, really special to see our Rebbe who is like walking, you know, on Shabbos.
Shabbos, so the lights are off. So. It really turns me off.
But that's a different. So we got to talk about that. But you know, when we see Robert Tversky, especially by Shaul Shuddes, though, when he's wearing that, you know, the colorful Beksha, and it's like you're like transported to a different world, right? But this guy who's always saying Begam, what he can't get transported because there's a little streak inside him. It's like everything around him is like, feel Shabbos, just feel it, get in the mood. But there's a streak inside the guy that's like, I'm not doing it. You can't get me. I'm not coming over to your side. I'm gonna stay here on the dark side. I'm gonna stay here on the dark side because you know you guys are all fake and you guys are all you're not real. You're not legit. So that's another damage that can come out. Gimel, a third damage that can come out. We're running out of time, but you guys liked it, right? You guys liked it that I went 15 minutes over? Because I have an extra piece that I've been going off the rails a little bit tonight, and I might go even more off the reservation. So, I don't know, maybe Jake, see if the people want me to go 50 more minutes and let me know if they want to go 50 more minutes. All right, Jake?
Let's do this. I want to go longer. Let's do this.
Okay. All right. Let's do it. Okay. Gimel. Pegam ze goyrim atzvus. A third type of damage that you're going to feel, and this is something you can feel physiologically. You can actually physically feel this. It causes depression. That when someone is involved in pegam bris, he falls into depression. And you're going to see it's very interesting. He starts to actually describe addiction. And addiction is like kind of the culmination of someone who falls into Begam Bris can find himself in a cycle. And there's a lot of physiological effects that come from that. So we're going to talk a little bit about that. So Begam Zed Garim Atzvus, this Begam can cause depression. Kamrumus be Parshas Bereishis, where it says, that when after the sin Eitz Hadas, that Chava, when she's gonna have children, it's gonna be painful. Childbirth will be painful. Va'atzvus mevia l'chol inyanim
ra'im. Wait,
Atzav is
depression. Now you're saying it's painful.
Yes, atzav is pain. Atzav is a word for pain. So we're learning out of that pasuk that when you're Isaac and Pegam Bris, right? But atzav til debanim, we're just connecting the pasuk of like when anything you do. So let me explain this better. The pasuk is just referring to Chava after the Eitz Hadas. When she has children, it's going to be a painful experience.
No, he said the line before, he said atzav was for sadness or depression.
Yes.
Now he's saying it's pain.
Yeah, it can mean both. It's interchangeable. The word atzav could be pain or it can mean sadness because it all comes from the same root. It's all pain.
Okay.
So we can look at it in our world that anything we do, anything we're trying to give birth to, right? Not like in a literal childbearing way, but like banim could be our actions, the things that we try to create in this world. They will all, if we are coming out of Avera, if we're coming out of Begam, it's going to come with a lot of pain. And va'atzas mevia l'chol inyanim ra'im. And this atzas is going to be brought for, and it's going to be brought out in any kind of bad way, in any bad way, or anything that you try to do, it's going to become painful. And aimless sipika nefesh, you're not going to have any sipika nefesh, you're not going to have any contentment of the soul. Mechapes ve'inemotze, you're going to be searching for meaning in life, and you're not going to find it. Ad shereitze l'mloi sipukai, until you're going to just desire to fill your desires with taivas asuras, rachman alatzam. The imloi b'maisa, and if it's not something that you're doing b'maisa, like you're not actually going out and doing a physical act of taiva or something that is usur, at least what's going to be happening is b'mara einayim. You're going to be looking for things. You're going to try to look at visual things. And again, with the advent of technology, we've even skipped the maisa itself. That's like the culmination of sexual deviancy. Mm-hmm. That's that's over. Like, you look at the statistics today, people don't want to even get married anymore because, like, why? I get my needs met with a little computer screen that fits in my pocket. Like, why do I need to go out there and do actual isomysa? Right? So, b'mari and I, you're going to look for visual stimulation, or you're going to read things that are usher. Like, because in the old days, right, that's all you had, right? You had magazines.
Right.
And that was really it. Like, that was before, he's talking when I think TV existed already, but this stuff wasn't on TV yet. So he's literally describing the addiction cycle, and I want to actually talk about the addiction cycle for a second, because it's very important. The addiction cycle is extremely dangerous. I have it pulled up over here. This is the classic addiction cycle that CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy, goes through and shows how you get into this loop where you can't get out of it. And if you see, it comes from this inner sense of doom, this depression that is a result of our actions, and that everything we do never gives us fulfillment, because if we're constantly in this cycle of fulfilling our lustful desires, we can't get ourselves out of it. And there's ways to break the cycle, and we can talk about that, but I think it's very important. And then again, for those who may be addicted, like, this is why you need to seek a therapist, because when you get into this loop, even learning Torah is not necessarily going to help you. When you get into a really extreme version of this loop, like, you need a professional to break you out. So I hope this is going to make the reason why I talk about seeing a professional when you're addicted is so important. So it goes like this, and by the way, CBT stands for Cognitive Behavioral Therapy, and it was based on a lot of Stoic teachings. We talked about Stoicism the other day, about learning to seek a life of virtue. It's very interesting. They have actually a whole very accepted and very well-researched method of therapy. So here's the trigger. The trigger for the addiction cycle is something internal or external activates your system. You're stressed, you're lonely, you're bored, you're just tired, you're feeling shame. And a very interesting thing, the difference, I heard someone say this, the difference between shame and guilt is shame is when you break someone else's rule. Guilt is when you break your own rules. That's why shame is very, very destructive. It's about your picture of yourself based on how other people want you to live. And guilt is your picture of yourself, of how you want to live. So you can fall into shame and to guilt. And then you see something visual. Something attracts you. And again, it could be as simple as a woman going down to do the laundry by the river who's dressed sneeze. But you're in this bad state of mind. You're in this, like, low state of mind. And that's enough to trigger you. Like, when she bends down and her sleeve gets pulled up for a second, just over her wrist, right? But if you're in the wrong frame of mind, that could be enough to just set this this cycle into motion. So then what ends up happening is your brain now starts to fill in a story because you got this trigger. So now you have the thoughts that are filling in the details. You say to yourself, well, you know, I'm feeling sad, I'm stressed, I'm tired, whatever it is, I need to feel relief. I can't handle the situation I'm in. You know, I'm just gonna do this thing just once. You know, I've failed anyways. I'm constantly failing anyways. So, like, what does it matter if I do this Avera or not, right? This will calm me down. Some people get trapped in an addiction cycle that has multiple loops, and then you can get to a place where it's like, I'm just feeling so compelled or obsessive about doing this thing. If I just did it, I could be free and be holy again. I could be free and just feel better about myself again. I could go and, and I can go learn Torah with a clear head. But right now I'm trying to learn and I just keep thinking about the lady that I saw. And it's almost like your Yetzer Hara is pretending to be a Yetzer Tov, saying it's for the sake of being better that I do this thing. And then when you start filling in those thoughts, you get to stage three of the cycle, which is a craving. You start to crave. And here's where it gets physiological. Your blood pressure starts to go. We talk about resichas dam. Your blood starts to boil. You start feeling pressure. Your vision, you gain tunnel vision. I'm just reading off I'm just reading off like a description of the this. This is not even like learning to see the Shalom right now. This is a straight description of how cognitive behavioral therapy explained this. And you start getting restless. You can't sleep properly. It's a very physiological feeling. And this craving feels bad, but it's not dangerous. But the mind says that if I don't get release or relief, I'm going to die. There's no end to this, right? I have to address it now, right? Like instead of like maybe getting up and taking a walk and doing 15 push-ups, which is actually a really good way to get you going, right? To get you out of the cycle. But you know, because you're getting your blood, you're getting your endorphins going. This is very, very dangerous. And then there's obviously the behavior, because you feel there's no other way to deal with it. You act out. And then you have a short-lived temporary relief, which, you know, you'll feel a momentarily calm, or it's more often like a numbness, and that you're disassociated from yourself. And then the shame, guilt just hits you. That's the next stage of the cycle. The relief that you felt for that momentary those momentary feelings of relief, that all crashes. And then you start saying, I'm just a mess. I'm broken. What's wrong with me? I'm a failure. And you start playing that tape in your head. You start really carving the identity of you being something that's bad or disgusting or wrong. And then that feeling of wrongness, that feeling of stress, sets up the next trigger for the cycle to go again. That sets up the trigger to go again. So I hope this was clear. This is really not from the Nesiva Shalom, but if you see the Nesiva Shalom saying that you're feeling from acting out this way is going to cause you to feel depression, and everything you do is not going to have, you're not going to have any contentment from it, which is going to set this cycle of addiction into motion. It's gonna set this cycle, and then you're gonna know how to deal with it is by doing the Avera again. And that's why you're gonna seek more Tivus. That's what he said. He's basically describing the addiction cycle. And again, like it used to be in the old days, you had to like go to the bad part of town and pay money to do a really bad Avera. But in today's world, it's like you have these crazy people that are like putting these acts up on a pedestal and saying, no, it's healthy for you. It's good, it's expression, it's just, you gotta speak your truth. You gotta identify yourself as somebody who is Isaac in Dvar Mushcha, like the most disgusting things. It's like an identity to be proud of. And again, it's because it's mostly up in our head, especially the addiction cycle, we don't actually, we've even cut out the person. We've cut in our generation, we've cut the person out of this whole cycle, because why do we need it? If there's another person in there, if there's another woman that I have to drag into my Avera, then I have to like deal with another person's feelings, and I have to like, there's like effort and work involved, even if it's in a really sick way. But even not a sick way, it's just like, I'm just gonna express myself. Like, why? So just me and a little computer in my pocket, and I'm good to go. And which just makes the cycle just even more intense, because you have this drip, this like morphine drip. That's the problem with cell phones, is a morphine drip in your pocket at all times. You know, when people are really, really sick in the hospital and they're in a lot of pain, so they get a morphine drip and you can press the button, right, to release morphine into your system. That's what a cell phone is. That's what a smartphone is. So yeah, you need it. You're not, listen, I have a smartphone, I have it tagged, it's filtered with tag here locally in Chicago, but you know, you need it and not need it. I can come up with all the excuses why we need it in our life, but we have to at least accept the fact that what this smartphone offers is a button that you can press at a moment's notice, and you can just get that morphine shot to your system, that dopamine shot to your system. And this is why the way TikTok works is those very quick videos. You watch it and it gives you a spark of dopamine. And then you watch another one and another one, and like someone could be watching these little short videos, even if they're clean and educational, but it triggers dopamine every 60 seconds. Even and 3-4 hours later, you're not even enjoying it anymore, but because you got addicted to the dopamine push every single time you flip through another video, you're just like stuck in it, in this addictive cycle. And kids report this. The Gen Z is like rebelling against the smartphones. There's all these articles about it. But like, it's not even enjoyable anymore. People who are lost in this addiction cycle, they're just stuck and they can't get out. So that's the third damage that could be caused. And the fourth damage, I'm sorry if that got too graphic, please let me know. But I think this is stuff very important, and I hope it's serious enough that people who feel that they need to get help, they need to get help. Okay, and the fourth thing, Dalit, Hagarua Mikol, and the lowest or the most damaging of all, who mashi yuduam Rabbi Sena Kadoshim, that the Rabbi Sena Kadoshim say, keep it gam zem maybe kridus be'amuna. After all these three issues and damages that happen, you're like, what is there to believe in anymore? Your emuna is gonna cool down and dissipate, right? Because you're being metama, your mind, the hadas, your brain and your mind. So you're gonna start coming up with like really crazy thoughts and ways of thinking, really bad, destructive, distorted views. But al kein etzel yiladim chusha emuna. When a child is born, he's given like just like that sweet innocence that we see in a child. It's because he doesn't have a tarnished emuna. His emuna is there. Like he may not have words to express it, but like you know the way he trusts a little baby trusts his mother and his father. And it's just like when you don't you miss those days? For those of you who have like older kids. You know, remember those days when you came home and like, you know, the little 5-year-old just jumped into your arms and he just loved you unconditionally, right? Because he didn't know how, I'm talking about myself now, but he didn't know how bad of a father you were. So he still loved you before he became a teen and started to have all these grievances, right? So those, because little kids are pure like that. And every one of us was like that, right? Belishum yagia ukadavar tivi, there was no other type, there was no, there was no ulterior motive or any kind of other desire that's in him. Because he didn't have any pagam yet. He hasn't done any pagam. The little children, they're not involved in this when they're really young. So they're pure. Rakmishu Shaimer Bris Kodesh. And really only someone who is Shaimer the Bris, his Bris Kodesh, so Lo Yesh Mayach Tzlul, he'll have a clear mind, a clear brain. He's using mayach and das. Das means like your knowledge, your sense of understanding in the world. Mayach is literally just your brain, and I think he's focusing on the physiological side too. He's not just talking about your intellect, your understanding, your emotions. I think he's talking like all the issues that we talked about that cause physiological changes as well. Like it's all up here in the head. And if you're shomer your bris, you'll have a clear brain and clear mind. And the emuna shlema, and your emuna is going to be whole. Ki Hashem Yisbarach malei kol ha'aretz kavodei. Because the emes is Hashem Yisbarach is malei kol ha'aretz kavodei. And chashecha ka'ira. All the dark places are illuminated when you have Hashem in your life. V'chol machshava ra'a. And every bad thought is all revealed in front of Hashem. But when we have a pagam in our own hearts, when we have pagam because of the averes that we're doing, that's like in the mirror. We're putting dirt on ourselves, and then we look in the mirror and we can't see ourselves clearly anymore. They got a little intense, but I hope you guys enjoyed and have a very, very heilige Shabbos, and we'll see you Sunday evening, Be'ez Hashem. And may you taste the sweetness of Shabbos. May you mamish taste the sweetness of Shabbos this week.
This is a good hachon of Shabbos. A good hachon of Shabbos.
Anytime. All right.
Yes. No, don't worry. This is a much different kind of intense. Previously, you know, Shabbos didn't used to be. People started around. You know, this party was very, very, very aggressive. Very. I'm pretty sure you know the story already. But they're like, no, if you do this, you're going to be
Lenny, thank you. Did you want a schmooze?
It's possible.
First of all, it's always freezing in the shoe.
It doesn't say how it's possible to get out from the tire.
Sorry.
Yeah, you have the ties up.
Lenny, I may Hashem give you clarity and a mayach tzlul and a clear mind. And also everyone here who's still watching, who's on, because I know, take it easy, Lenny, but we can talk if you want. I think Jake is busy with something right now, but if anyone has any other questions they'd like to ask, I'm here to answer.
I really, really, really appreciate this year. Sorry, I like joined like 2-3 minutes late. But then you said that was just the warm up. So then I guess I was kind of dumb.
It's my classic preamble ramble.
That is good. I don't know why I didn't join for the first few days, but yeah.
No pressure.
If this year was like this, I would have definitely, yeah, for sure. Thank you so much. This show is really, really something I needed to hear.
Anytime. Hatzlacha, and have an amazing Shabbos. Zayis and everybody.
All good Shabbos.